First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 11. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 11. The epistle of First Peter is one of the first epistles written about 67 A.D. from Rome. Its theme and its content are about strength and comfort to a suffering church, to a church that is under attack. If you read a little bit of your history, you'll know that in 64 AD that Nero burned the city of Rome so that he could rebuild it. But because of the people's reaction, and he feared the people, he had to find somebody to blame it on. And so he blamed it on a sect called Christians. And that was when the great persecution from Rome came upon the church. And Christians were killed by the tens of thousands and in unbelievably cruel ways. Writers from that period say that Nero would actually dip human Christians in pitch or tar, set them on fire, tie them to poles to light his gardens at night. He would wrap them up in carcasses of dead animals and sick his dogs on them. And they would literally be killed by wild animals themselves. Every kind of cruelty that you can imagine and more, the apostolic church was going through that. I hope this is sinking in a little bit here tonight. It's easy for us to just think that's a fantasy or that's a distant thing, but I'm telling you, it's real. And it happened to one God, apostolic, Jesus baptized, Jesus name baptized, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking Christians, just like you and me. They were no worse than we are. And yet God allowed that kind of persecution to come against them. And God forgive me when I complain, when I have life so good. And God forgive me when I allow little things to keep me from the house of God and the work of God and the will of God. The apostle is writing to a church that's going through that. And that's why the tone of 1 Peter is so filled with compassion and mercy and love, because that was what the church needed at that point in time. So with that in mind, let's read these verses. In closing his letter, he said this to that church. He said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight about this subject, Christian imperatives. There are some things that we just must do. There are some things that are not optional in the Christian life. One of those things that he brings to the forefront when he says to the church, he said, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Now, it's one thing to be humbled, and it's another thing to humble yourself. And if I may say tonight, it's always better to humble yourself than to be humble. It is a hard thing to be humbled. When God has to knock drops out from under us and let us come to our just desert, it's hard. But it's much easier if we'll humble ourselves. Humility is, well, concept that's not easy to understand, I suppose. How do you achieve humility? A man wrote a book, they said, it was 500 pages long, Humility and How I Achieved It. I doubt it. How do you achieve humility? And how do you know when you're there? How do you know when you're really humble? Now, I'm not talking about inferiority. I'm talking about making yourself a doormat. I'm not talking about putting yourself down at every turn and talking yourself down. That is, actually, inferiority is a sin. Because it is misappropriating and underappreciating the gifts that God gave you. So for you and I to say that we're nothing, we're nobody, we can't do anything, when God said we can do all things through Christ, are we making him a liar? Huh? When he loves us and we look at ourselves as just nothing and nobody, understanding that we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We're the light of the world. We're the bread of the world. To take the word of the Lord and the things that he said about us and those things, that's not humility. And could I say, the problem with inferiority is because it's seated in self. Shake your head like this, it's seated in self. Do you know why most people, I'm not anybody, you know why they say that? Because they want you to build them up. Hello? They want you to start, oh, no, brother, sister, you just don't know what you mean, how good you, come on now. Oh, no more, please. Oh, no, enough about me. No more, come on. No, don't say any more. You know, it's seated in self, you see. That's how you know when it's inferiority instead of humility. Humility doesn't think little of it, doesn't think of itself at all. Humility genuinely is the absence of self. Amen. We just don't think about ourselves. Amen. Wouldn't that be... Well, I'm getting some weird looks here tonight. This is not false doctrine. This is truth. Amen. You know how to get, let me just give you a real good clue. Do you know how to keep people from hurting your feelings? Don't think about yourself. Nobody hurts your feelings. You don't think about yourself. You know how to keep people from making you angry or mad, as we call it? Just don't think about yourself. Isn't that easy? Sounds easy. But it's not so easy to do. But that's the truth. So humility then is just not thinking about ourselves. The Bible said, humble yourselves. Empty yourselves of self. Amen. And he said, empty yourself and before the mighty hand of God. Isn't that awesome? I love that phrase, don't you? Therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How many think God's got a mighty hand? Hallelujah. The Bible said of Israel when the Exodus, he said, and God led them out with a mighty hand, with a strong hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The hand of the Lord is mighty. It's awesome. It's powerful. It can do all things. The hand of the Lord. So he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. By saying due time. And God knows when it's time. And when we think it's time, we're probably not humble anymore. Amen. When we can finally get to the place we're not worried about it, then God can really exalt us. Amen. When we finally got to the place that we don't think we've got it worse than everybody else in the whole world, surely God has forgotten me. Amen. So he said, humble yourselves, therefore, the hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. When you give yourself to this wholeheartedly, amen, and just give everything you got and think you're privileged to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've known people to get real offended because they didn't get recognized for something. Then why did you do it? Do you work for God so you'll be recognized? Do you do things for the kingdom so that you'll get praised from a pulpit? This is not supposed to be hurtful here tonight. It's supposed to be helping us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm just trying to help. The reason we do what we do is out of just a simple motive of love for God. Isn't that right? Amen. Doesn't the Scripture say that we do it as unto the Lord? So if I do it as unto the Lord, then it doesn't matter whether anybody else gives me praise for it or recognizes that I even did it. What difference does it make? We did it for the kingdom's sake. We did it as unto the Lord. Amen. Huh, that's real good stuff there, Brother Grissom. But I thank you, Ben. Amen. Enough of that humility stuff. Let's go see if we can get something better. Amen. And then he says in the next verse, and thank you for putting that up a few minutes ago, the confirmation, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Every time I read this verse, I think of Peter in a different setting, in a different time. When actually he was in a boat on the Galilean Sea. Jesus was in the boat. Some of his brethren were in the boat. And a storm arose. And they were fighting the storm, doing everything in their power as seasoned fishermen and seafarers, and yet they feared that the boat was going to go down, and Jesus was sleeping through all of this. And so finally, Peter cried out, and he said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? I wonder how many times he looked back on that and thought, you sure were silly, boy. What a statement you made. Amen. But here he is, an old man, a few years before he's been crucified upside down for the sake of the gospel. And he writes these words, looking back through the years, and he says, hey, there's one thing that I know, and one thing I want to tell you, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult your times, no matter the price you're having to pay, I want you to remember, he cares for you. You can cast all of your cares upon him. Here's a man that speaks from experience. He knows the miraculous power of God. And he knows that surely Jesus really cares. So I want you to know tonight that you can have confidence in God. You can trust in God. You can believe in God. You know, most of us, our greatest problem, at least right now, is not persecution. Most of us are not fearful that some wild animal is going to consume us. Most of us don't have to worry about being lit up like a torch and put up on a pedestal to light Nero's garden. That's not what our problem is. You know what our problem is? It's what the Bible said, the cares of this life. The cares of this life can weigh you down. Bills. Somebody said, do you have bills to pay? You better give it back because he might need it on his bald head. Bills to pay. You get it right? Bills to pay. Amen. But we've all got bills to pay. Yes, we do. Amen. And that's a weight, isn't it? Anybody know what I'm talking about, or am I talking to myself up here? Amen. You know what I'm saying? You got bills to pay, and you got more bills than, what does it say, you got more outgo than income? Amen. You know what I'm saying? That's a pressure. And those of you that are parents tonight, and you have little children in your house, and you're responsible for them, and you're doing the best that you know how, and you're praying, God, help me. I don't know what in the world I got myself into. Help me. I don't know what to do with this thing. Amen. Sickness comes, and you can't sleep because they can't sleep, and you got all that's coming up on you, and it's just, these are the cares of life. And did I make the right decision? And then the husband, the wife, does something boneheaded and stupid. And you think, this complicates the problem here. And you know what I'm talking about? These are the distractions of life. These are the cares of life. These are the things that come upon us every day. Amen. And late notices coming in the mail, and you're afraid to answer the telephone. Amen. Because of bill collectors, and it's just frustrations, and the car's cutting up, and the cat gets hairball, and the dog gets sick, and frustrations of life, and they're distractions. There's a beautiful verse in the 23rd Psalm. You're familiar with this. When the Bible said, he anointeth my head with oil. You know what's awesome about that? Do you know why the shepherd anointed the head? How many have ever seen a sheep? Have you ever seen a sheep's tail? It's about that long. Don't do much good at all. It don't have any hair on it. Now you look at a cow's tail or a horse's tail, it does some good unless you cut it off. Because their tail, it acts like a fly swatter. You know, can you ever think about animals out there and you know how much gnats and flies and mosquitoes bother you? Bothers them too. And so if they've got a long tail, they just swat the little buddies away. And you know, isn't that neat how they can make their skin jump? I can't do that. But then all the flies fly away a minute. God just put that little, that's their insect repellent God gave them. We don't have that. But thank God we invented fly swatters. And off. And all kinds of good stuff that's killing us. But a sheep doesn't have any protection. Except the shepherd. But the shepherd, when he puts that anointing on him, it actually keeps the pest away. You know, the pest can get in their eyes and they'll have diseases, and get in their nose and in their mouth and cause disease. And so he anoints them, their head, with oil. And it keeps all those little pests and those distractions away. You can imagine if you didn't have any protection. How that would be, you'd be shaking your head and they'd just go insane, literally, because the distractions would destroy them. But the psalmist said, but the good shepherd, he anoints my head with oil and he takes these distractions away. Amen. Aren't you glad? Full of the gladness of the Holy Ghost that comes on you and takes all of your distractions away. When you've had all you can take, you just get yourself in a prayer closet somewhere and you say, "All right, devil, I've had enough. Amen, Holy Ghost, let that anointing flow upon me. I'm going to get my mind on Jesus. I'm not going to worry about bills and distractions and all of these things. I'm going to cast my cares upon Him because I know that He cares for me." Amen. You can be confident tonight that God cares about you. He knows your address. He knows everything that's going on in your life. Amen. And then he said to this persecuted church, he said, "Be sober." Now, I don't think he's talking about alcohol here. But you can be inebriated or you can get drunk on things besides alcohol. You can get so preoccupied with worry and anxiety. Did you know people make themselves actually sick physically by worrying? Has worry a problem for you? Has that ever really done anything good for you? Then why worry? Amen. He said, you need to be sober. Sober simply means that you're in your right mind. You're thinking right. And when you're in the Holy Ghost, you think right. You know what? Well, goodness gracious, if God's in control, why should I worry about all this stuff? If I'm doing everything I can do and I know I'm living right and I put God first in my life and you know I'm doing everything I know to do, amen, and Lord, I'm asking you to lead me and I'm just doing everything I possibly can do, then why worry about it? Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to take care of it. How many times has He come through? How many times has He and done things that you didn't see any way out, but He made a way? He sent a supply from a source that you never even imagined could be. Hallelujah. And one of our preachers at conference while he was preaching, he just said he just got a text from his church and home church and he said they sent him a message, said somebody just come in and wrote a check for $20,000. I know a man that picked up a hitchhiker one time and as he found out, the guy was a famous tennis player and he found out it was a pastor and they got to talking and when they got to where they were going, the guy said, "I'd like to do something for your congregation." He said, "How much do you own your building?" And he told him and he wrote him a check to pay it off. And we worry. Now, that's not my testimony, but it's theirs. But you know what? I'm confident that He can. I am 100%. He supplied a different way, actually through you. And as long as you're doing your part, we don't need tennis players. Amen. We're fine. As long as you and I are doing our part, and God's doing His part, we don't have to worry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you see, you can confidently trust in the Lord. Amen. Just be sober. Think right. You don't have to. You know, people in the world, if we're not careful, we'll adopt their mindset. If you're around people that worry all the time, or maybe that's what your parents did, but you don't have to. But that's the way it was in my house. We don't have to be like that at your house. Well, you know, my mom and dad were always hollering, so we hollered. No, you don't have to. There's no law anywhere that says you got to scream because mom and daddy scream. You can actually have a peaceful house. You don't have to do that. Amen. Praise God. You can actually break the pattern in your life. Yes, you can. So be sober. Be right thinking. Be right thinking. And then he said, be vigilant. That means you got to be watchful. Be watchful. And he goes on to say, your adversary, the devil. And that's interesting. You know what the word adversary means? Devil. You know what the devil means? Adversary. So he's saying your devil, the devil, or your adversary, the adversary. Amen. So he's getting the point across here, isn't he? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Everybody say, as. He's not a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil's a counterfeit. He's always trying to act like Jesus, but he's not Jesus. And so he comes as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So now Peter remembered that. He remembered, I'm sure his mind went back many times to that night in Gethsemane when Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I'm sure his mind went back many times to the voice of Jesus in the garden when he said, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. I'm sure those words, those kind, sweet, gentle, heartbroken words echoed in his memory over and over and over again. He knew the devil was tricky. Now, I'm telling you tonight, and I've said this before, the devil is not omniscient. He cannot read your mind. He cannot read your thoughts. But he has been dealing with humanity for almost 6,000 years. And he does listen to what you say. And we give a lot of our thinking away by what we say. Oh, I'm so discouraged today. I feel so bad today. You know what they said about me? I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to church or not. And the devil said, more. Amen. Keep your mouth shut and he won't know what you're thinking. Huh? Hello? Praise the Lord. Yeah, he listens to everything you say. And he watches you. Amen. And you know, when your face is long, sad, you're about to trip over your bottom lip. And the devil said, something's up here. But you put a smile on your face, and he'll never know the difference. You don't tell him what you're thinking. You keep your thoughts to yourself. You keep your praise constant. You keep your conversation positive. And the devil will never know. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you got to be vigilant. Don't give him any clues. Don't give him in. Don't give him a way to get into your life, into your thinking, and into your actions. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good. Amen. You know, when you start missing church for silly things, you know what you're telling the devil? That's right. When you decide to sit one out, well, you know, I don't really feel like praising tonight. I'm just going to let everybody else do it. But Sunday morning, I'm going to really kick in here. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's vigilant, you see. You got to be vigilant against your enemy. How many know you have an enemy tonight? How many believe there's a real devil? And let me tell you something. It ain't hot stuff. He's not a little red guy with a long tail and a pitchfork and cute little horns on his head. Amen. He's whatever he needs to be to destroy your soul. And whatever else he is, he's a liar and he's a good one. I'm convinced tonight that if I can be as good a Christian as he is a devil, I would make it to heaven. Because he is a good devil. He's good at what he does. Amen. And I want to be a good Christian. Be vigilant, he said. And then he said, the next portion, go down to the next verse, he said, whom, talking about the devil, resist. Everybody say resist. Amen. Do you know what resistance is? I don't know. Some of you know a little bit about football. But when you're playing a football game, there's a guy that he's called the quarterback. And he stands back there, you know, in that special little spot. And it all starts with him, or the center. As soon as the center moves that ball, as soon as he moves it, action begins. And he gets that, his job is to get the ball safely into the hands of the quarterback. And then the quarterback, his job is to advance that ball somehow toward his goal line. And but there's some men, they call them linesmen, and their job is to resist people that are trying to get to the quarterback. And they're usually the biggest, baddest, fattest guys on the team. And it is their job. You trying to get to the quarterback, you're coming through me. And it ain't going to be easy. There will be pain. That's their attitude. You want him? You come through me. That's resistance. Amen. If you get there, you're going to fight for it. Amen. One of our problems with the devil is we don't do enough resisting. The first word, he said, you got to resist him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is good stuff here. Amen. Resist him. And then he said, here's how you do it. He said, steadfast in the faith. That's how you do it. You just stand on your faith. I know what's right, and I'm not moving off of it. Amen. Somebody comes along and says, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. Well, such and such church, they're really growing down there. And, you know, they backed off of that. Well, let them grow. And I'm going to stand right here. Amen. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Scripture said. Amen. But do you mean they're going to hell? I don't know what's going to happen to them, but I'm standing right here. Amen. I'll let God take care of them, but I'm standing right here. I'm not moving off of what the apostles preached in the book of Acts. That's the message of the church. That's a message that's going to save this generation, and nothing less will do. I don't want to cheat somebody and give them less than what my elders gave me. You know what I read this week? Actually, yesterday. I don't remember the percentage. I think it was 30% of young people have no religious affiliation. Now that sounds bad, but that can be good. Have you ever tried to unsave somebody? It's hard. It's hard to unsave people. That's right. My daddy, my mama, they were such and such all these years. And I'm such and such, and I'll die such and such. Well, okay. Next. That's about all you can do. Amen. But if you find somebody that realizes, I don't have anything, but I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something I can believe in. I'm looking for something that's real. I'm looking for something that will transform my life. I'm looking for something that will change me. And I'm telling you tonight, there is no church like the apostolic church that has a real experience and relationship with God. And God is setting this generation up for nothing less than an awesome revival. We don't have anything to fear, folks. Now, I'll tell you what, we can't compete with gyms and bowling alleys and activities and activity centers. Hey, man, they can out-activity us on every turn. They can outspend us on every turn. We can't take them to see the Rangers or the Cowboys. Huh? Yeah, that's one of the things they do, you know. They always got some gimmick going. We can't gimmick very well. Hey, but I'll tell you what, we can still preach the apostolic truth. We can still see the Holy Ghost in manifestation. We can still see lives transformed, sins forgiven, and habits crushed, and people delivered. That's our hope. That's all we got. But it's enough. I'm going to tell you what, we're coming to a time real soon when it's going to be a whole lot of Peter's preaching to. Amen. I'm just going to throw this in here real quick. It'll take a minute. This election will probably be the greatest, most important election in the history of our nation. It will define what America is going to become. It will define what America is going to become. This is it. And so you need to do some praying, seeking God, and some study. Find out what people believe. Find out what you believe. Unfortunately, neither one of our choices are exactly like we are. Amen. But one of them is a whole lot closer than the other one. And I'll let you figure out who that is. Amen. Starts with an R. But let me go. Let me rush on here real quick. But I'm just saying that our world, we're in a world of trouble. We have, we're in a place, and I'm not sure if we can ever get over this. I don't know that we can. But I'm deeply disturbed about things. Deeply disturbed. As an American, it stirs me up that somebody can attack our embassy and murder our ambassador and three Americans protecting him. And in the name of politics, just cover it all up. That is an absolute shame. And Americans ought to be outraged all across this country. Amen. I'm sorry that I don't mean to get in politics, but I just want to throw that in because I'm just telling you that we're coming to an hour when Christians will be persecuted. Did you know, I read this just today, that in San Antonio, Texas of all places, Texas, that they, in San Antonio schools, they are making students carry at all times, 24 hours a day, an identity card that has a computer chip in it, and they can track them everywhere they are. And they're forcing them to do it. Or trying to. There's a few of them that's got enough backbone to stand up and say, hey, I ain't carrying this. You gave me a card when I started high school, and you said it would be good until I got out. And I'm not trading that one in for this one. But I'm just telling you, you see where we are, folks? This is not a prophecy message, but I'm just trying to tell you tonight that we're way down the road here, and we're just one step away. You think, my brother Grissom, that could never happen here? Oh, yes, it can. Amen. When you look at the last 3.5 years, whenever this administration has made end runs around our time and time again to do things that are unlawful and get away with it. Amen. It couldn't happen here. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Amen. You talk to Venezuelans if it can't happen. They rewrote their constitution because they got a... Well, a man in their White House is very strong. You know what keeps him in power? Because he promises to give things away to people. And I remember in the 60s, there was a man that was running for president, and he gave probably a great speech that really stirred people up. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And now that same political party is telling everybody, this is what we can do for you. That's how close we are, folks. We're just not far away. Now, I don't say that to be negative. The Bible said when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. But I just want you to know tonight, we got to be steadfast in the faith, because we are close. We are close. Amen. We are close. Amen. So he said, be steadfast in your faith. Just stand on your faith. Amen. Brother Grissom, what are we going to do? We're going to keep standing on our faith. What if they close the church doors? We're going to stand on our faith. We're going to find another way to do church. But we're going to keep having church. One way or the other, we're going to keep having church. But what if they arrest you? Then please have jail ministry. Just, it's coming. There's going to be trouble, folks. It's here. Amen. There are people that are rabid against Christianity. Hate it with a passion. And so we're there. We are there again. But I'm just telling you, God may grant us a little reprieve. I don't know. If he doesn't, then just stand on your faith. Be steadfast. Don't waver. Amen. This is not time to start giving up the apostolic message. This is not time to start compromising your beliefs. This is not time to start backing up. This is time to stand steadfast. Amen. Because I'm telling you what, the revival's coming this way. It's not going that way. I heard a man one time. He didn't know who it was. I just kind of overheard what he said. So sad. I remember him calling a man's name. And he said, I remember watching so-and-so drink his first beer. He was in his, mid-30s. He had been a missionary of the United Pentecostal Church. Got his feelings hurt. Gave up faith. He still professes Christianity. But he let it all go. Folks, it can happen. It can happen. But you got to stand steadfast. You make up your mind. Amen. I do not care what else happens. I'm going to stay steadfast. I've got to. I have no other choice. If I have to stand alone, alone it's going to be. But I'm going to stand steadfast. I'm not moving from what I know. Amen. Be steadfast in the faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm hurrying on here. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, but the God of all grace. You know what grace is? Grace is divine enablement. It means God will enable you to do whatever it is that you need to do. God will enable you to be whatever it is that you need to be. That's what grace really is. Amen. Doesn't matter. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Grace is God's divine enablement to cause you to stand against anything that you need to stand against and stand for. The God of all grace who hath called us. Everybody say, he called us. You're not here tonight because you stumbled into a church one day. You're in this body because he called you. He called you. Amen. He called you by name. He filled you with his Holy Spirit. He washed away your sins by the authority of his name. He sees you through the blood Amen. He called you. Amen. He called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen closely. After that ye have suffered a while. Amen. There's going to be some suffering. I know we don't like that. And there are people today that won't preach that. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some suffering in life. And I don't have time to get into this, but there are several reasons why we suffer. Sometimes we suffer consequences of our own doing. Isn't that right? You remember people telling you, don't you put your hand in that fire. Don't you play with that match, it'll burn you. Well, it did. And guess what? You suffered the consequences. Mama couldn't make it all right. It just hurt to let God through hurting. And you just had to put up with it. There are some consequences in life. Sometimes we suffer for consequences. Amen. And then there's suffering for the name's sake. We just suffer just because we're Christians. And when that happens, God sends you a special grace. And He said, you're going to suffer a while. He's talking to a church. And even stoic secular writers, when they wrote about these sufferings, it was like they didn't understand why they hated these people so much. Why did you hate these people? I'm telling you why. When the devil gets in folks, and he can and he does. Amen. It's not just the people hating you. It's a spiritual thing. They hate you because of what you are. Let me quickly tell this. I'm hurrying. I really am. I'm nearly through. Amen. Honest, or at least I'll quit. But yeah, I think this will help you here. My daughter, a couple of years ago, was going through a really hard time at the university. There were two men that just particularly were hard on her and doing everything they could to stop her from succeeding in her education. Both of those men were homosexual. Now here's the thing. Their problem is the spirit that was in them resented the spirit that was in her. You see, she has the Holy Spirit, and they didn't have. And I'm sure they didn't understand why. She just grated on them. They tried to be nice, but they just couldn't. Because there's a spiritual conflict going on there. Well, Cherie came home one time and she told us about it. And my wife, boy, when she gets upset, And Cherie said, well, see, she told us. She said, those men, they're going to be there. They're settled. I mean, their careers are made. There's nothing I can do. And my wife said, well, there's something the Lord can do. And she started praying against that. And you know what? At the end of that year, when she came home, she was shocked. She said, both of those men are retiring this year. And there was absolutely no indication of that. Amen. But Mama got stirred up and went to prayer. And she started telling the Lord, amen, what was happening to her kid? And the Lord said, that's my kid too. Amen. So He just put in the hearts of those two men, hey, it's time for you to move out of the way here. And they did. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just said that to tell you tonight that the God of all grace, amen, if He doesn't check them out, then He'll give you strength to bear it. He'll make a way. Amen. Our thing is, we can't get to thinking like the world. Amen. We've got to think what's best for the kingdom and not what's best for us. Let me say that again. We've got to think what's best for the kingdom and not what's best for us. If we're not careful, not only we, but we will teach our children. You hear this? We'll teach our children. Amen. And I know parents that have taught their kids this. Amen. You don't need to go to Bible school. You need to go to school, get you a good education so you can get a good job. Huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so what you're saying is you need to get a good job, leave ministry up to somebody else. The highest thing that you'll ever be able to call to do is the kingdom of God. Abraham Lincoln had it right. A man wanted to join his cabinet that was a minister, a preacher of the gospel. He said, "Sir, what can I do?" He said, "If God called you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king." Amen. You understand today that this is the highest calling that there is. It's not the most lucrative. I'm not complaining. God's been good to me. Amen. I'm a blessed man. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying to you tonight, it's not about money. It's not about accounts. It's not about careers. Your first calling is to the kingdom of God. Amen. My. Woo. This wasn't supposed to be like this. I was supposed to just, you know, get this done and just all go home early tonight. But we're getting there. I'm nearly through. Really am. All right, at least I'm going to skip over some. How's that? Amen. After you have suffered a while, listen closely. Listen closely. He said, after you have suffered a while, he said, he will make you, if I say, perfect. Hallelujah. The word perfect means to mend what is broken. And to supply what is missing. Amen. So sometimes it's in suffering that you find out what's missing. And it's sometimes in suffering that you find out what's broken. So the Lord said, I'm going to find out what's missing in you, and I'm going to supply it. I'm going to find out what's broken in you, and I'm going to mend it. Praise the Lord. And then he said, he will establish you. That means he's going to make you solid or stable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for people that are just solid and just going to be there. Hallelujah. And then he said he will strengthen you. Amen. That is, he's going to fill you with strength. He's just going to pour it in. And he's going to fill you up with strength. Hey, the Lord's doing this stuff, folks. This is not you and me. You're not going to get strong on your own. He's going to make you strong. Amen. He's going to provide what's missing. You can't get it. It's missing. You don't know where it is. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to get it. He's going to supply it for you. He's going to take what's broken and he's going to mend it. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to take what's weak and he's going to make it strong. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you know what happens when wind blows on a good strong fire? It just makes it hotter. Have you ever been to, what do they call those? A blacksmith shop. You know, and he's got those billows. You know, and he throws the iron in there and you know, he's got a nice bed of coals and it's glowing. But he takes those billows and he starts pumping them. Amen. And all of a sudden that air gets in there. And man, that old fire that looks like it's nice and cozy, all of a sudden it starts roaring. And it starts getting blue and white. Amen. And it gets so hot that metal begins to melt and becomes pliable because that wind makes it stronger. Amen. Sometimes God sends some trouble in your life and it seems like the breeze is blowing and the winds are contrary. But you know what He's doing? He's just making you stronger. He's making you hotter. He's making you better. Amen. That's what he's aiming for. That's what He's trying to do here. And that's what trouble does for a Christian. And then He said He's going to settle you. The word settle means to lay a foundation. He's going to lay a foundation. Amen. Now, a foundation conforms to what has already been formed. When you lay a foundation, you've got to build a form first, right? Isn't that right, Brother Wesley? Know what y'all did? Amen. And a hole down the ground. And when they got some 2x4s or 2x6s or 2x-somethings and nailed them together and they made a form. Because we wanted that concrete to stand that form. And it took on the form of what we put there. And so the Lord has a form, but He's laid out for you. And when He pours into that form, that's what you become. He makes you strong. He settles you. He settles you. He settles you. If you have foundation problems, you know what the problem is? It's because your foundation hasn't settled yet. You know what they call it? It's settling still. And that means that there's some vacancy under it. And it hasn't settled. It's not what it's going to be. And so it keeps going down until it finally gets so solid it can't go any further. And the Lord said, I'm going to get you where you can't go any further. And you're going to be settled. And you're going to be strong. And you're going to be stable. That's the imperatives of the Christian life. Let's stand together tonight. Let's talk to the Lord a little bit and give Him some praise here tonight.